I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Claire Battershill was in town last week for an appearance with the Vancouver Writers Festival and joins me now. She's just published a new short story collection, her first book, Circus. I'll ask her about the nine stories in the book, writing, and more. Claire Battershill was born and raised in Dawson Creek, British Columbia, and has lived here in Vancouver, in Victoria, and Toronto. She now lives in London, where she teaches at the University of Reading. She won the 2008 CBC Literary Award for Short Fiction for the title story in this book and was named the co-winner of the 2013 Canadian Authors Association's Emerging Writer Award. She was a junior fellow and apprentice printer at Massey College. Visit clairebattershill.com for more. The book is published by McClelland and Stewart. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Claire Battershill. Dr. Battershill, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you teach literature, and I'm assuming you've been interested in books a long time. What's it like now to have a book of your own out?
It's really exciting. I've been an avid reader forever. Basically, I used to be a very common appearance at the Dawson Creek Public Library when I was a kid. And it's really, really exciting. It feels great to hold it in my hand and to see it around in the world. Yeah,
and then you're hearing back from readers. That must be fun too.
Yes, it's been so great to be back.
So when did you leave Dawson Creek?
I left Dawson Creek when I was in grade 7, so I was 12 years old.
And did you get up there often still, or?
I went back to visit when I was in high school with another friend of mine who moved to Victoria sort of around the same time. But I haven't been back really as an adult. I really want to go back there with my husband and kind of show him where I grew up sometime soon. So I hope to get back there.
It's something that, I mean, it is in British Columbia, but I'm assuming it's closer to Edmonton than, say, Vancouver is. So
it's pretty close to the border with Alberta. So it's, you know, you would sometimes drive into Grand Prairie, for example, to do some of the big shopping or whatever.
Yeah.
And you used to have to fly through Prince George from Vancouver to get there. So it's definitely northern BC, Alberta kind of.
Yeah, and do you still feel like that's home for you? Or, I mean, I guess home is wherever you live now, right?
It's interesting. I mean, I've lived in so many different places, I guess, over the years. And strangely enough, Dawson Creek is the place I lived the longest of any of them. So, I was a kid there. So for me, it has a lot of kind of, I suppose, like nostalgic, sentimental value. I think growing up there was really important to my sense of who I am. But I went to high school in Victoria, so that also has a lot of associations for me. And Toronto was my home for 6 years. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I've sort of been all over the place, and it's hard to pick a place. But I do feel like a West Coast girl. Like I can't sort of get rid of that feeling, I don't think, no matter where I am.
Yeah. Did you always want to write?
I didn't. So when I was little, I read a lot, but I was interested in all different kinds of things. And like a lot of kids, for some reason, I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Yeah.
I think I was always into telling stories and reading, but I don't think I sort of articulated it as a desire to be a writer until quite a bit later.
And did you, when you finally decided that you wanted to be a writer, was it always in the fiction realm that you wanted to live in, say?
Actually, no. That came as a little bit of a surprise to me, because I started out writing poetry, and up until the title story of the collection, Circus, I had written exclusively poetry. So that story was my first sort of foray into fiction, I guess, altogether. And I think in some ways short fiction was as far as I was willing to go at that point from poetry. It was like the biggest step I was comfortable taking. I'd always been a reader of fiction, but I guess I had seen myself more as a poet up to that point.
And do you find that you're comfortable in short stories enough that this is what you'll write, say, the rest of your career? Or did you think you'll use it as a jumping off point to, say, the larger novel?
I am working on a novel at the moment, so we'll see how that goes, I guess. So I'm giving it a try. I think that what was really great about making that move to fiction from poetry was that I sort of felt like I had been a little bit nervous about moving genres out to something that I hadn't done before, and I actually found it really fun, and it was a very different experience than writing poetry, and so I think I'm basically willing to give it a try in almost any genre, and I also write nonfiction for my academic life, too, so I think, you know, I'm willing to try anything once, and then I'll see how it goes.
Isn't it, I don't know, maybe because of Alice Munro, writers can make a career, say, out of short story writing nowadays. I'm not an avid fiction reader, so I'm just assuming here.
I think it's still pretty tough. I think there are a lot of readers who find fiction, short fiction, a little bit tough because they want to get to know characters and they want to kind of immerse themselves in a longer experience. But there's been a lot of talk lately about how the short story is kind of seeing this resurgence nowadays. And of course, the recognition of Alice Munro was instrumental in that. But also, you know, people reading online and reading shorter pieces kind of more habitually has arguably really increased the profile of the genre. So I think it's a good time for short stories, for sure.
Yeah, and a lot of us like to think that the short story is just a truncated novel, as suggested by its length, but it's really not. I mean,
no.
And so how do you approach writing a short story as opposed to writing anything else?
Well, I think that short stories, for me, I think one of the big differences between a short story and a novel is that they tend to be a little bit more tightly structured. So they tend to have a form that is, it's not sort of so much about development or background or any of those other details, although those come into it. It's more about a kind of a slice of time, a little moment in time, and making that moment really resonate. And so in some ways, they share a lot of qualities of poems, I think, short stories. They have that kind of intensity of experience that you can only really express in a very short time. So in terms of approaching the actual writing, I often think about the shape of the story first. So the pacing of it, you know, where the event should happen in the story if there's an event, and that kind of structural detail. And then I kind of go into the more fine writing part of it. So I like to be able to see a larger structure when I start.
And I guess, do you see the plot first or the characters?
Characters.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah.
Is the process of writing, you'll forgive me because, as I said, I'm not a fiction reader per se, but I find what you all do as writers fascinating because it's not something that I would even do. When you're writing a short story, do you know how long it'll be and what it'll look like ahead of time?
I mean, I guess sometimes I have an idea, and then it sort of ends up not being like that. So I do often end up deviating from what I think it will be. Sometimes I have a notion of, like, you know, where it's going to end, and sometimes I sort of know the ending before I start. But often what I think will happen isn't what ends up happening. So it can be a little bit of a surprise once you start going where it takes you.
And so the deviating part, does that take a long time, say? I mean, are you hunkered over your computer writing a long time, longer than, or just as long as, say, if you're writing a novel or anything else?
I think that the thing about, well, for me, short stories, part of the reason, and actually Alice Munro has talked about this too, part of the reason that they worked for me as a genre was because you can sort of focus quite intense, small amounts of time on constructing them in the first place. So if you have, when I was writing the collection, I was also working on my PhD, which was a very long piece of nonfiction, and that, you know, of course, was a larger project that was very immersive, and it was one of those things that you sat down every day and you wrote a certain word quota, and that was how you sort of managed to produce the thing. Whereas short fiction, I felt, at least for me, was much more of a kind of intense, immersive experience that, you know, over a couple of days I would really be writing the story, and that would be what I was doing for that time. And so in that way, it fit in really well to my life, and I think the first drafting part is quite quick for me. I tend to really want to do it while I'm in the moment and in the story, and if I leave it too long, I sort of lose the tone of it or the feel of it in the first instance. But what takes a really long time with short stories is editing. So the first draft, you know, might be a couple of days, but then you need a lot of space from it to see how it's working later. And then once you get second readers and you start to really, you know, I worked with a wonderful editor who was very, very detailed, and that process was very time consuming. So that sort of later stage, I think, with short stories, especially because there's so much pressure on each word in a short story, you know, you really want it to be strong all the way through. So I think the editing for those is very, very time consuming. But the first drafts, yeah, can be quick. At least for me.
So you have 9 stories in this book, Circus.
Yeah.
How do you decide what goes into a book like this? And do the 9 stories here, do they relate to one another? Is there a theme that you sort of explore?
They're a little bit of a mixed bag. So there aren't common characters between the stories or any sort of really direct linking device like that. But they're all really interested in this idea of the relationship between spectacular performances and wonder and things that are a little bit outside of everyday life, and then the experience of the ordinary for people. So I was really interested in, you know, if you think about kind of the idea that, like, all circus performers also, you know, they eat breakfast and they have regular lives, and yet somehow they have this kind of moment on stage that is just a little bit separate from what most people's days look like. So I was really interested in that relationship between the extraordinary and the everyday in each of the stories in different kinds of ways. I started to think of the collection itself a little bit like a circus. So, you know, when you go to the circus, you don't necessarily get like a coherent experience. You don't get a whole play where you get a story. You get all these different little acts that, you know, you might have the juggler or the clown or each of these individual things, and they're kind of doing different performances, but they're all kind of brought together under the tent, and you still feel as though you're there at one event. So I started to try and think of the book like that it had a certain specific tone, and it had a certain kind of way of being that felt coherent, even if the stories themselves were doing separate things.
So do we have to read it in order, or can we just pick up, like, if we see an interesting title, can we just read that?
You can read whichever one you want. Reading in order is absolutely not necessary.
Yeah, but do you think about the order, though, when you're putting a book like this together?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think in this collection, there seems to be certain stories that I felt kind of spoke to one another in different ways. So there were little resonances that are pretty subtle, but when I put stories next to each other, they seemed to kind of come out more. So there is also a little bit of a movement in this collection from, I would say, maybe the most sort of cheerful story to some of the sadder stuff at the end. So that is a little bit of the structure. But yeah, coming up with the order was actually a little bit tricky. My editor helped me out a lot with that, because it's hard to know from the author's point of view how it reads to someone outside, because, you know, I'm so familiar with them by the time that you're thinking of the order that I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
What is teaching given you that's perhaps useful when you write? I mean, I'm assuming that because you read other people's work that you're a critic. I mean, a tough critic, maybe. Does that help when you're writing yourself?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think teaching, actually, one of the really interesting things that I suppose was maybe a little bit unexpected is that, you know, I've been doing some readings and stuff to promote the book, and I think that being a lecturer and teaching has really increased my confidence speaking in front of people, which I think if I didn't have that sort of as my day job, I think I would be very nervous in these situations. And I've found that because I'm used to speaking in front of large groups of people, it's actually been fine.
Yeah.
So, and that was something that, you know, I think is true for a lot of writers. It wasn't a natural thing for me. I would, you know, much prefer to be writing or reading on my own. So that actually has been a real advantage. In terms of the critical side of it, I sometimes have to be a little bit careful not to be too hard on myself. I think that's my tendency, is to want to criticize my work as though I'm reading it, you know, in that kind of literary critical mode. And if I'm to feel sort of comfortable writing, I sort of have to make sure that I'm not being too hard on myself like that, because otherwise I feel inhibited and it's much harder to try and actually write the work. So I think it's really helpful, certainly in the editing phase, but there are also times when I need to kind of be like, it's okay, it's going to be fine.
Yeah,
Don't
yeah.
be a critic on yourself.
Well, what's it like, because you just mentioned that you've been going around reading the book at events and the sort. What's it like to read something that you've written? I mean, you just assume that it's meant to be read, and so now to be read aloud in something that you're all too familiar with.
Yeah.
What has that added to, say, the ownership of your words?
I've actually really enjoyed reading it out loud. I find reading it on the page silently kind of strange. So when I was picking out selections to read out loud and I was sort of having to actually read the book, that felt a little odd for some reason. But reading out loud, I don't know. I think I've come to really appreciate the dialogue, and so because that tends to be, obviously it's written as though it's said out loud, so it tends to read quite well. I've started to really appreciate those dialogue sections, and I also learned a little bit too about what works for audiences, and so picking out sections that are maybe funnier or that have kind of jokes in them that are good for those kind of performance moments, which may be different than the parts that are more contemplative or that might be a more of a written kind of experience. So I think that there are different stories that seem to lend themselves well to different things too, which has been really interesting to sort of discover as I've been going along this process.
And do you find that readers, say, in this country are different than readers in other countries, chiefly England, say?
I don't know if I would say that there's, I wouldn't say that I've noticed any kind of essential differences, really. Like my students in both places, who are sort of the readers with whom I have the most contact, I mean, they've in all cases been, you know, by and large, very enthusiastic and insightful, and so I haven't really found too much of a difference, actually. I think that Canada, though, I would say, has a real investment in the short story as a form that I haven't seen as much in England. So I do think that, you know, maybe partly because of Alice Munro and everything, I think there, and other writers, though, too, like, you know, there are so many great Canadian short story writers, and I think there is maybe a little bit more value for this form here. That's the one thing I would say that I can see as a difference.
So I began the chat by asking what it's like to have a book out now, your first book, and you described what that was like. You're being touted as a new voice in Canadian literature, and I mean you've won awards that talk about being an emerging writer, being a new voice. What's it like at this point for you as you've launched what hopefully will be a long storied career?
I'm really excited about what's next. I've had so much fun writing this book and everything that's come along with it too, meeting readers, you know, in Toronto and on the West Coast here, and I've had such a great time. So I'm just excited about the next thing. I'm, you know, really, really excited to keep writing and excited to keep going with it. So yeah, I'm having a blast, basically.
Yeah. You'll permit me this question because you're a teacher, and I've always found, as I said, I mean, I don't read fiction very much, and I'm wondering, can everyone read fiction? And because you teach it, because you read it regularly, I mean, I know a lot of people, like I'm sure you do, who aren't curious enough about novels or fiction that they never touch them. But it doesn't mean that they're uninterested in, say, fiction because they're film fans or they're obsessed with some new show on Netflix. But they simply can't be bothered to read. So I'm wondering, how do people gain a greater appreciation for books?
I think so. I think I've certainly seen it in my classroom, like, you know, students who maybe are taking a required course and are not super excited about being there. Like, I've definitely taught students who feel that way. And I think the main thing is that the literature needs to be something that relates to people. So you need to find a character that you recognize, or you need to feel some kind of connection to, I think, generally speaking, the people in the books that you're reading. So I think that character is really what brings people to fiction. And I think whether that's TV or whether it's movies or whether it's books. And so I think that, you know, for reluctant readers, if they're able to find something that is a subject that genuinely interests them for other reasons, or that has a character that, as they say, is a person that they recognize and that they want to get to know better, I think that's probably, you know, the best way in, is to find the people in the books and to try and get to know them by reading. And I think that that can really open up the possibility of reading other things that are similar and meeting new people too. So I think really, for me, you know, fiction is really all about people and, you know, finding a different way of expressing how we relate to one another. So I think if you can sort of enter into that feeling, then that's a really nice access point for people. But you know, not everyone likes the same thing, and it's totally personal. And so I think, but there's so many great books out there, and there are so many different kinds of things that I think that exploring and trying to find what it is that specifically works for you is the best way to go about it, really.
And then when you're writing anything, do you think about the audience? Do you think about, well, will people like this? Or is this something that a lot of people would like to read? Or are you writing, say, for your own eye and what you'd like to read yourself?
I'm definitely a lot more conscious now of the reader, I guess, and thinking about the reader. But certainly when I started writing the stories for this book, I really wasn't thinking about that at all. I was not assuming that I would have any kind of audience. So I was really writing the kind of thing that I wanted to write, and based on having read a whole bunch of stuff, I was trying to write the kinds of things that I liked to read. So, and I was also trying to just write in my own voice, in my own way. So part of it was also this way of trying to access what I was really thinking about. But yeah, definitely, you know, going through the process of editing too. Editing seems to be the moment to me at which you also start to say, okay, well, you know, now I need to figure out whether this makes sense to the rest of the world or whether it just makes sense to me. So yeah, I think it's an interesting question because I think that it can be really scary to think about the reader and, you know, whether or not they're going to like what you've done. And I think that sort of question isn't super useful. But I think if you're starting to think about how you can communicate through your writing and actually think about expressing an idea, then that can be quite helpful. So is this clear? Is it coming across? Is it possible to get something from what I'm saying? I think that can be a really helpful question to ask, especially at the editing stage. But it's a tough one, for sure.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. Congratulations on everything. Good luck with this book.
Thank you so much, and thank you for speaking to me today.
You're very welcome. The book is called Circus. It's published by McClelland & Stewart. Its author, Claire Battershill, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Ponta.